Welcome, Jamsters Magoo, to another episode of Cellar Jams. I'm glad to have you here to listen to Michelle Smith, who is a wizard when it comes to Facebook Messenger advertising. She started off her career in corporate America and left an extremely high-paying job to start her own marketing agency. And then eventually over time found her way into the niche of helping Amazon sellers build chatbots from the highest possible level of general marketing and then marketing for coaches. She zoomed way into specifically just building chatbots and helping sellers build chatbots. Later on, she had her own discovery about how she wanted to stop selling her time for money. And she goes into how she hacked her way out of creating her own 9-to-5 hell herself and creating freedom from this system by divorcing her time for money exchange. So enjoy this episode, guys. You're going to love it. Ho, 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 ho. Hello. Hey, everybody. Welcome back, my jammers, my jammies. We're here today with Michelle, who is a messenger bot marketing savant genius who I came across, and we ended up doing a webinar together and have gotten to know each other digitally, although we haven't met in person yet. So hopefully we'll cross paths at a conference sometime in the very near future. But Michelle has a cool story in and of herself, even outside of the stories that she's been able to create for sellers through helping them with their messenger bot marketing on Facebook. She has her own story to share about going from corporate to wanting freedom for herself and her family and her kids, and then striking it out on her own, and then finding her way into the business model that was right for her. So we're going to dive into all of that right now. Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. I've never been called a savant before. It feels like, is that expert or is that like one of those people who's kind of like brilliant in some areas, but like not really brilliant in others?
It's the second thing. Yeah. Yeah. It means that like you don't know how to like put on pants, but like you do.
How's that for a visual, guys? I'm going to talk about bots. But not in pants.
No pants, though. I can't put on pants, but I'm great at
all right, bots. This is headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah, no. But you know what? You brought it to my attention because I like associate savants with like, you know, child savant geniuses. And you mentioned on the webinar how, you know, everybody thinks that you're super duper young, even though you have like, you know, 18 kids or however many kids you have.
I have two kids, Chris.
That's more moderate. That's why the word savant came to mind. But yeah, tell us your story. Just back before we even get into the messenger bot stuff, people want to hear how you even got here. And you have a thriving business that you own that's growing organically, that you've seen a ton of success, and you've quickly become a thought leader in the space, which it's been cool to me to follow that trajectory because I think it greatly outpaced my own journey in the space with the speed at which you just got passed around, in a good way. And so it keeps going there. And so I think we can back up and start at, you know, the story that you were beginning to tell me before we started recording of you being at a job wanting to leave.
Right. And I'm sure your listeners can relate to that, where you feel like there's something more that you can and should be doing, right? So my history, I was born at a young age. So I've been doing marketing for almost 20 years. And I think what we were just saying is that to look at me, you would never think that I'm almost 40, but that is the case. And I'm happy to wear that with as a badge of honor, because marketing is one of those spaces that changes pretty much constantly. And the first half of my career was working for corporate. And I worked for several of the Fortune 100 technology companies in the U.S. as well as around the world, Vodafone in Europe, China Telecom. There you go. China. Oh, my goodness.
Got a tongue twister.
And that's right. And I had the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of different markets and a lot of different marketing tactics, I guess we'll say. But the one thing, and that was really great from a professional experience, but it was actually kind of at the end of this round the world business trip that I had, where I was, you know, in meetings in China, and then I was running these focus groups all over Europe for Vodafone. And I kind of, the last day was in Paris. I woke up in Paris on my birthday, my 29th birthday, actually. So it's like 10 years now that my life has kind of like shifted and changed. And I woke up in Paris, the most, you know, romantic city in the world, in spring, the flowers and the Eiffel Tower and all of that. And I was completely romantically alone in the most romantic city in the world. And I was just like, this sucks. This just sucks. You know, like I want something else for my life. And I wasn't dating anybody at the time either. And I really, you know, it was kind of like a life changing moment for me where I had been like head down in my career and realized that I wanted and needed something different out of my life. And I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that same thing where you have your aha moment and it kind of points you on this different trajectory.
Yeah. I was going to actually point that out, that like, I'm almost suspicious of how much I hear that. Like I hear it from, and I even tell it myself. Like I have my story of like being at my desk job in New Jersey and making on that day that I booked my one way flight to New Zealand. And that was the start of my, like, you know, journey outside of corporate America. But like, I'm always suspicious of it because I wonder if we romanticize our own stories, you know, in a way, whereas it's more of kind of a sequential thing, but we think of it as this like aha moment, like you said. And I'm not saying that that's not what happened to you, but when I think about how life actually works, like it makes me like suspicious of myself and how frequently I hear that. And the only reason I point that out is because I don't want people to think that they need to have some tragic thing happen in their life for them to make changes. Sometimes it really is like, I don't know, what's the good version of death by a million paper cuts? There must be an opposite of that,
well,
you know?
But like each, yeah. But each paper cut is kind of like a choice, whether you're going to keep doing the same thing that's causing that pain or you're going to make a change happen. I think in marketing, there's constant moments of pivoting. And there, it's kind of, sometimes it's micro pivoting and sometimes it's macro, you know, and sometimes you need these big moments to have an awakening. I think there's a difference between an awakening and a pivot, you know, like a pivot, you're kind of aware that there's a problem or you're forced into change because change is forced upon you, you know? But sometimes those awakenings are when everything is going well, you know, apparently, and you kind of have to be shaken awake, you know, to.
Now, isn't that
awake.
True? Like it takes some level of courage to leave a bad thing that you're attached to, mm-hmm. but it takes a whole other level of courage and discipline and belief in yourself to leave a good thing for something that is better. That is tough.
Amen
because it's
that.
Easy. There's both sides of that spectrum, right? There's like, okay, I need to practice gratitude or I'll never experience happiness because there's always more. And I could just want more, more, more until the day I die and, you know, never reach that point and never be happy. So I should be able to be happy where I am. But you should also, if you care about growth, and you care about impact, you should also be always challenging yourself to go to reach the next level, accomplish the next thing, put yourself in a challenging scenario, be better, you know, and all the rest, which are kind of paradoxical, contradicting concepts. I have not mastered this and I can't even wrap my head around it. And I'm always battling between the two myself.
Well, I don't know that mastery is the goal, you know. I think, like, you know, on a daily basis, you have to, you know, as a gut check, you know, figure out, am I on the path that I want to be on? And sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't have that luxury, right? Like I say, you know, sometimes like you have to earn the right to live your dream. You know, like if you have mouths to feed at home, if you have people that rely on you and depend on you, and you know, your job is sucking the life out of you. You know, I get that, but you still have to a certain degree be responsible for the things and the people that depend on you. And there is a time and a place for that, for living that dream, I think. But sometimes the dream needs to become the reality, and you have to take those steps and those steps into the dark and move forward. And sometimes, you know, I was doing a podcast last week just about chatbots in general. And the woman asked me, she's like, "Oh, you're so successful. Have you ever failed?" I don't know what happened, but basically she had to like pause the recording because I started just giggling for like, just like full belly, like chuckling for like a good, like 2.5 minutes. It was hard to get it back under control because I was just like, of course, yeah, of course.
Like, you only see the crest. Like you don't see on Instagram, you don't see on a webinar, like the like valleys,
no,
the like really no. low points, which there are a ton of.
No, absolutely. On the way up. And even on those most successful of days, like today, just right before we got on this call, I got asked to speak at Prosper next year. And that's a great, nice, huge success. But guess how long I've been asking those guys to let me have a chance, you know? So
10 years.
Right. So I'm not going to jump on Facebook and be like, "Oh crap, these guys shot me down today. What a bummer. Life sucks." You know, obviously I'm going to talk about like how excited I am to speak at Prosper 2020 and, you know, share my knowledge with blah, blah, blah. Right. we don't, it's the nature of humanity to not share, like yeah. you said, the
and
bellies.
That's why we're all sad, because we see this highlight reel on Facebook totally. And Instagram that makes us think, "Oh, everyone's life is awesome. Why do I have all these issues?" But anyways, before we get too philosophical, you're in Paris. You have this realization. Yeah, we really go down the rabbit holes.
No,
don't we,
I get
Michelle?
It. I love it.
You love it. You have. I allow us to, because I think that's where some of the magic gold nuggets are too. Mm. I'm not the type of interviewer to like keep, you know, this rigid sort of structure with like an outlined number of questions that need to be answered in a certain time. So sorry, listeners, if that's what you're asking for, we go down some rabbit holes, but I do have to keep us on track to a certain degree. So you're in Paris, you have this realization, you're 29, that's 10 whole years ago, which is crazy.
Right.
And then what happens?
Right. Well, so from that moment, basically I just started pursuing a path to make change happen in my life. I started dating differently. I in fact, one of my business iterations right after I left corporate was, like being a dating coach, because I learned that dating is nothing more than a marketing process. And so I started working on my personal brand and my targeting, figuring out who my target audience was and really the type of guy that I really was, you know, that was best for me. And then changing my advertising, i.e. how I'm going to meet that person based on my targeting, instead of just doing the same old thing and getting the same old results, right? That's marketing 101. If it's not working, shift. Like, don't quit. Don't keep investing in things that don't work. And surprise, surprise, I got married and have, you know, that was like the best decision of my life, because he
does your husband know that he was like hooked?
Oh,
that
yeah.
he was like targeted and hooked with like a whole marketing campaign?
Well,
guess what, dude?
He would say that he is the one that like did all the work, because I like got him initially, but then he's the one who kept me, you know, he's the one you know, that's its own rabbit hole. But
and I'm sure with all of that marketing that you did, you probably had a whole list of leads, so to speak, to choose from. So lucky him that he was the suitor.
He, you know, he's great. And you know, to any entrepreneur out there, I think who you choose as life partner is such a crucial role in your success, because he has, you know, in my dating history and what my dating career, I called it, I dated so many wonderful guys, but guys nonetheless who were intimidated by me, who found more opportunity to network with me than they wanted to date me, because they saw my career, they saw my status, and they wanted what I was as opposed to wanted me as a person. Whereas my husband, never a day in his life has he been intimidated by me or overshadowed by me. Like I really feel like he has allowed me like I'm the kite and he's holding my string. You know, a kite can only fly as high as it does if it's grounded. And I think that that is so important, you know, in my entrepreneurial journey, was to have somebody who helped to ground me, who believes in me, who picks me up during all of those failures and helps me to keep going. That every time I go on that stage, I call him, you know, in my terror of like, who am I to be up here, in my imposter syndrome, right? And he's the one being like, you're going to be great. Like, what are you even worried about? And then he's there high-fiving me.
You know, Warren Buffett said the same thing.
Yeah.
That the most important investment decision you make is the person that you marry. Mm. That's Warren Buffett says.
Yeah.
Or the person that you choose as your life. I don't know what the wording is, but that's, he literally said exactly what you just said.
And it's
okay. So you found your life partner first before you started your business.
Yes. And then shortly after that, like, I knew that I was like 32 before I got married. And so I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, i.e. like in Mormon dog years, getting married when you're 32 is like, I'm like 800. So having children was like a huge priority for me. And so I knew, being in corporate, that like the term working mother was like an oxymoron, that I saw what women went through, you know, right? And so I was like, I don't want that. I want a different path. I want something else. And so like 6 months after we got married, and I was making like four times what my husband made. So it was a huge, it was a huge sacrifice to walk away from my 12-year corporate career, right? Director level positions, to start my own thing, just do my own agency and start offering marketing services. And it's had its ups and downs.
Okay, so originally it was just you as a contractor offering your marketing expertise to what? Small businesses? Large enterprises?
Yeah, it started off as small businesses. Okay. And I didn't know a thing about that because I had come from the enterprise world, you know, in the corporate world. And so selling into small business was this whole new realm. And prior to making the leap, I had been working for a marketing agency. And basically, I was doing both business development and fulfillment. And then the agency was just taking like a 90% cut. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm no dummy. Like, I'm doing the work and I'm the one earning the work. Like I'm making the sell and I'm the fulfillment. I'm pretty sure I can do this and keep that 90%, you know? So it was kind of that, one of those kind of moments for me where I was just like, okay, I gotta jump ship here and start my own thing. And that's essentially what I did, was I started offering those same, initially kind of those same services that I was doing, to small businesses.
Okay.
As well.
Gotcha. So first it's just you. Then did you start growing a team before you started getting into the Facebook stuff and the Messenger bot marketing?
Yeah. So my business had a whole iteration before I ever got into chatbots. And I like to say that I've had three different businesses in the same business, because marketing is one of those areas where things change constantly and trends kind of come and go. And from my experience being a dating coach, I did a lot of speaking, training, authorship work just for myself. And then I got sucked into this whole world of speaker, trainers, authors, because I was just in that space, and a lot of those lovely people have no clue what they're doing on the marketing side. And I was like, you know what? I'll take care of them. Like, I know what I'm doing. And so I built up this pretty massive team of like 21 people really quickly. My business went from, you know, like, I don't know, like $1,000 per month to $300,000 a year, very quickly growing and building digital marketing agents funnels for the coach or trainer author space. So think like ClickFunnels.
So that was the niche, trainer, author, people, and you would make their marketing funnels for them for Facebook?
Including Facebook ads, running Facebook ads, and you know, all of that stuff. But my big frustration with that was that it was a long time, like building out these funnels, building like these massive email campaigns, running Facebook ads in all of these different niches. Like, it was just like a long time for building. It was like a 3-month runway just to get this machine built, right? And then it was, and then there were all of these different like optimization levers, like, okay, are ads performing? You know, are, you know, is this lead magnet the right lead magnet? Is are like all of these like 40 emails in all of these different structures? You know, it was hard to track down where the funnel would be like leaking or breaking. And it was an optimization nightmare. And it was one of those things where like one day, right, like I had just had my second child. And it was probably a combination of exhaustion and just like fed upness in general.
Do I smell an aha moment coming on?
Yeah.
Is that what's about to happen?
There was a true aha moment.
All right.
Where I just was so frustrated with digital marketing funnels in general, where I was like, you know, there's got to be a better way, right? I hate to be so cliche, but there's got to be a better way. There's got to be something that's simpler and easier and quicker time to set up, quicker time to ROI, quicker time to optimize, you know, and wouldn't you know it? But that was like literally that same week was the first time I saw a chatbot. A business chatbot. Like prior to that, like messaging with my friends on Facebook, that, you know, it was a peer-to-peer platform, but it was the first time I saw a business application, and my spidey senses were like,
okay, and what year was this?
This was early 2017. So I had my agency, I started my agency in 2012. And so 5 years in, I saw chatbots for the first time. So it was a moment for me. It was definitely like one of those things where I was like, this is sexy. this is hot stuff. This is going to be the future of marketing, primarily because it checked all those boxes. Like no more did you have to build these massive email campaigns that like you had to hire a copywriter to speak the language, you know, like you didn't need landing pages that took like ton of graphic designers and copywriters and then video editors to create. Like you literally could get a campaign up in seconds and connect it to a Facebook ad, which at the time seemed like a super intimidating thing. But as soon as I started using Facebook Messenger ads, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so easy. And it was just like all those friction points of figuring out, is this working, evaporated. You know, it was really easy to optimize and really easy to demonstrate ROI, which at the end of the day, as a person of integrity, yeah, I can take your money and build your funnel and then be like, oh, gosh, shucky darn, it looks like people aren't interested in you as a coach, trainer, and author, and that's why this campaign doesn't perform, you know, but that doesn't sit well with me as a person of integrity. I want to like pour my heart and soul into a project because you invested all of this money into it. But with bots, it's really easy to see and demonstrate, success, you know, and that's what hooked me immediately.
Okay, so this is phase two of the business. This is when you went from being a general marketing agency for coaches that you built up to 21 people to when you were focused on still being an agency, still mm-hmm. with the agency model, but focusing on chatbots instead of these big, you know, funnels with lots of different moving parts.
And pretty much I just fired everybody because, and you know, that was a little sad, but they were all kind of they were all freelancers themselves. So it's not like I was their only bread and butter, but but it was one of those things where like I was just losing money left and right because we would build these funnels for them. And then we would spend, you know, an additional 4 to 5 months after the fact, still trying to optimize them, still trying to make them work for people and just hemorrhaging money. Right. So, let that be a lesson to you. There's a difference. Read Profit First, y'all. Like read the book Profit First. That'll teach you a thing or two about money. But yeah, as soon as I saw the chatbots, I basically like grabbed everything I could to learn everything I could about them in this space, and took a course by Scott Olford, who doesn't offer it anymore, Andrew Warner, Molly Pittman, Mackenzie Lieberman. Just have learned from amazing gurus, Ezra Firestone, and really just started building bots for existing clients just to kind of to gain experience, as well as put myself on Upwork and just started. I was one of the, when I got started on Upwork for chatbots, the chatbot keyword didn't even exist yet on Upwork. I submitted chatbot as a keyword for them to have on there. So I was one of the first and quickly got a ton of clients and gained a lot of experience with the topic. And then in late 2017, kind of like September, October timeframe. Oh, so this is, here's a number for you, Chris. So for all you people who worry, like, you know, you need to become familiar with the concept of sunk costs. And sometimes that's just like the idea of like, well, I've worked so hard and I've put so much effort into this that I can't leave it at this point. You know, like, no, you can walk away at any point, you know, like just because you've invested
fallacy.
Doesn't mean you have to keep investing, you know, like,
yeah, it's a big thought fallacy. I've been sitting in this movie theater for an hour and 15 minutes and this movie sucks, but you know, I'm already an hour and 15 minutes into it. I might as well like
totally.
Sit through the
my
end.
Husband's that.
Why,
that's
dude?
The way my
you could spend
is.
That last 20 minutes going to, you know, I don't know, get burritos. That's which would be way more fun than making
a
yourself
idea.
Dude, burritos, no matter what you're comparing them to, it's always a better idea. Always better to get the burritos.
So, oh,
yeah,
man.
That's so true.
Now
it's
I'm
the
hungry.
Same as, you know, gamblers that think, oh, okay, well, I've
this
come up short.
Gotta pay out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, because it's not paid out for this many slots, or I've rolled snake eyes like four times in a row. It can't happen again, or whatever.
Right.
Nope. Does not affect the future at all. It's
right.
A common logical fallacy there that I'm glad you pointed out.
Right. Totally. So just kind of time frame. May of 2017 is basically when I like quit the last version of my business where I'm like, I'm not taking on any more of these digital funnel clients. And then later that month I saw chatbots, and then I spent basically like, you know, several weeks just learning everything that I could. And then my first month in selling chatbots, I went from making $0 for like 6 months to making like $12,000 in a month. You know, and
nice.
from a service provider perspective, having no previous experience doing that, like it was that was massive. That was massive for me and validation of the course that I was going
and
in.
Now, is this still you selling your time, your consultive
yes.
services?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Gaining
so
experience.
We're in this phase. This is still phase two.
Yes. And this is really important. And I want to point this out because you don't become an expert by just claiming the right. You got to climb the mountain, you know, like you have to climb the mountain, and that is what gives you the right to plant a flag there. And it frustrates me to no end who people, you know, when people claim that they're experts when they've been doing something for like 2 weeks, you know, it's just, it's one of those buzzwords. And I'm like, you've got to climb the mountain.
Yeah.
To-
so you were doing it. You were doing the stuff to learn it, to be so that you could be the expert.
Right. But initially that was never my intention. I was never like, oh, you know what? Someday I'm going to be speaking at conferences. You know, that was never, I was just like, I've got two babies and you know, and my husband does a great job in providing for us, but I don't want to just supplement. I want to be the queen. I don't know how not to be. So maybe that's part of my secret sauce, but
nice.
But I learned everything that I could. And basically from there, it was just a month over month growth, you know, $12,000 a month was my smallest month, you know? And I learned really quickly that when you, and this is another nugget for you guys, when you niche, you're rich. If you're trying to be everything to everyone, you're going to be nothing to anybody, you know? So it's really important that, and also in service providing, it's really important to where there's efficiency, there's profitability. So if you're building custom solutions over and over again, you're going to lose. You know, you're always going to be reinventing the wheel. There's not going to be any kind of efficiency that you're going to develop. So I started off broad-based in just trying to learn the tech and learn different applications, but I knew going in that I was going to pick a niche pretty quickly. And I already knew that I didn't want to be in the coach, trainer, author world, that I wanted to be more in e-commerce. And so I got my first Amazon seller as a client in September timeframe, and kind of became familiar with her pains and what it was that she needed to do with chatbots. And pretty quickly I was able to, you know, make a massive difference in her business, which is highly validating. And as a person of integrity, like, it checked all of those, you know, kind of emotional boxes for me, where I was like, I'm making a difference. I'm not just wasting her time. I'm like earning that money, you know?
Okay. So here's a good chance for you to like clue us in on what they're actually doing. Like, how does a Facebook user use a chatbot? Like, from a high level, like, we don't have to get super deep, because I really want to hear, you know, your story of entrepreneurship. But what is it? Are we driving sales here? Are we driving ranking here? Are we getting information and subscribers?
Yeah. So, I mean, for Amazon sellers, absolutely. So the problem with Amazon is that, like, they're moving the goalposts constantly. There's just shifting sands in the marketplace all the time. And Chris, bless your guys' heart, you guys have experienced that in May, the whole month with all your launch services and stuff. You know, right? And as sellers, it's so much worse. You're at the tail end of that whip, where you're just getting whipped around on a daily basis. And really what chatbots allow you to do is build an audience, kind of like email, where you can have your own audience that you can direct traffic to do whatever you need to have done. So for Amazon sellers, if it's a ranking, you know, like, it's a ranking campaign, you know, you're wanting to rank organically for keywords on Amazon and have that sales velocity so that you can then, you know, show up on page one, because if you're not on page one, you might as well be on page 1 million. In search results for the keywords that people are searching for on Amazon. Chatbots also help you to be able to follow up with buyers and harvest reviews and be able to convert people from Amazon buyers into your brand's customers. So those are the kind of like core things that Amazon sellers care about. But chatbots have a lot of different capabilities in general, but really when it comes down to Amazon sellers, that's what they choose to do with their traffic that they gain through Messenger campaigns.
Right. But so the point is to have an audience that you can do whatever with as a seller, just as you would with an email list, but with a greater open rate and with more straightforward communication.
Exactly. I tell people, if you're going to spend a dollar getting an Instagram follower or a Facebook like or an email, you know, somebody on your email list or on Messenger, get them on Messenger, because they're going to see your content 100% of the time. They're not playing the Facebook algorithm game like you are when you're posting on Facebook or posting on Instagram. And you're not dealing with the email engagement rates of, you know, 10 to 20% open rates, where Messenger open rates are like 90 to 100%. You know, the engagement rates and the open rates are just insane.
Yeah, those numbers are what really piqued my interest, actually, when it came to chatbots, is the open rate. When you're talking email, a good open rate is like 20%. And when you're talking chatbots, it's like standard to be 90%, which is, that's total insanity. Now, are you building these from scratch? Are you using a tool like ManyChat at this point?
Yeah. So ManyChat, like, please don't ever build a bot directly inside of Messenger. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Like, use a chat platform. And there's lots that are out there. But when I was getting started, there were basically two kind of leaders in the space, and that was ManyChat and ChatFuel. And ManyChat is basically kind of like risen to the top. And there's a lot of different chat bots out there that are different, that accomplish different things based on what, you know, you're trying to accomplish. Like, there's like Boost 365 AI for Shopify sellers, or Octane AI for Shopify sellers, you know, that are just like kind of very specific use case scenarios. But ManyChat is my preferred platform of choice for, you know, giving you the flexibility to build your audience and then to do whatever you want with them once you have them.
Excellent. Right on. All right. So how did you, let's get back to your journey then, and tell us how you went from phase two to phase three, and what phase three is, your current phase of the business.
Yeah. So 2018, it was just basically growing my agency and growing my team. Like all Amazon sellers all talk to each other, and chatbots were kind of this new emerging tech that there was a lot of buzz around, still is a lot of buzz around. And so I just kind of got passed around and grew my business massively from referrals. And I saw over and over again that people were dealing with the same issue time and time again. And so I really was able to kind of create some standardizations in my ManyChat campaigns and developed basically templates that my team used over and over again. But my sellers frequently asked me to teach them how to run bots for their own business. And you know, they value.
And this is after the point where you started focusing 100% on the Amazon seller
Correct.
Community.
Yeah. I shifted to 100% okay. Amazon in like January of 2018. I didn't take on any other types of clients. It was only Amazon. My door was getting beat down for chatbot services. Every agency I knew, nice. I was telling them, learn chatbots because there's a massive market there. So I was trying to teach other people just in general to like get on board because the opportunity is
good
massive.
Good for you. Mindset of abundance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mostly I couldn't take care of everybody. And that's really how my business has evolved is that I reached a point in mid 2018 where I was starting to get asked to speak at conferences. My first conference was ASD Market Week in Las Vegas. And then I spoke at Amazon Innovate in New York City and then Global Sources Summit in Hong Kong. And it was in October, right before I left to go speak at Global Sources Summit, that I had kind of this kind of break. I had just gotten back from New York City and spoken there, and I had 30 new clients. And that might sound like not very much, but for service providers, that is completely overwhelming. And I was like, you know what? I'm riding this wave. I'm like a surfer in the ocean, and I see this massive wave coming. This is just, you know, chatbots are just barely starting in 2018 to reach kind of a level of awareness in the marketplace in the Amazon world. And I knew in moving forward that it was just this massive wave and that I had to paddle as hard and as fast as I could to catch that wave, or I was going to get crushed by that wave. And if anybody has ever surfed and been crushed by a wave, it is not a pleasant experience. You kind of think you're going to die. And sometimes you do, you know? And so my business took its next iteration and pivoted again. And it was kind of a convenient time for me in general because I was going in to get a tonsillectomy because I'm a 9-year-old child. But basically a tonsillectomy is going to like knock you out for at least 4 weeks. It is a brutal, brutal surgery and horrifically difficult. And I knew that either I would have to build a massive agency to meet all of the demand from, you know, all of these conferences that I was speaking at, or I needed to shift my model. And I needed to go from selling services to selling expertise and selling success in a different way, essentially. And so I took all of those templates and those trainings that I was teaching my team how to execute, and I started selling that externally. And I took a month off for Christmas and a really terrible surgery that is horrifically painful. And then I emerged in January of this year, basically like with a completely new business. I can't even believe that we're in May, where it's almost
Very
been,
cool.
It's almost been 6 months, or, you know, it's been 5 months since that latest iteration. But in that time I've spoken on some of the largest stages and most prestigious experiences of my career. You know, had the opportunity to work with so many gurus such as you, Chris, and doing webinars and podcasts and sharing truly helping chatbots become mainstream and helping people to learn. And now the only thing I sell is my course, which is basically a collection of ManyChat templates. And I try to make it super easy for people to install those and use those. And those are specific to Amazon sellers. And then I also have like what I call my messenger mentorship program. And this is my monetization strategy, is going from selling done for you services to DIY services or DIY solutions. So my course is either like self-service. You can figure it out. Like with these templates in this system, you can do it on your own. You really can. But if you want my one-on-one assistance, then instead of me bossing my team around on your behalf, I'm bossing your team around on your behalf. So that's my mentorship program where, I essentially guide people's teams on learning chatbots and developing campaigns specific to their strategies and objectives, you know? So it's been fun. It's been a fun, very, like without being crass, like it's been very successful. It's been very successful. And that's not always the case when you pivot in business. And I've experienced that a lot in my life. So when people are like, oh man, you're such a success and you've risen to this like fame and notoriety. And I'm like, well, good thing I have all those failures to keep me grounded, you know, cause I know it can change at any time. But like my goal both in life and in business is to empower people, to take the next step in their life and to grow and to become better. So I hope that I've been able to accomplish that.
Well, that about wraps it up, my friends. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Michelle. I tried to guide this episode to both tell Michelle's story and her own entrepreneurial journey while also extracting some value from the knowledge that's in her head about how to make chatbots work for sellers and why they're better. If you like the balance, let me know. I'm always curious to hear what you guys think about how these interviews are going. If you like the conversational free-flowing style, if you'd like something more structured or like me to be more disciplined about demanding the value out of these folks. But sometimes I do find that going down those rabbit holes actually provides a good amount of value and really what anybody really wants to hear and what really sticks in a human mind's head is a story. What's better than a story for communicating information? Since we were cavemen, all we were doing was telling each other stories. So aren't we wired to hear a story and learn from a story? After all, aren't we all just creating our own stories? I really wanted to try those baked in sound effects that Zencastr has. Whew. I really hope you guys felt the emotion there. Let's try the drums. Ready? Ready for the drums? I gotta start using this more often. Oh, there's a ballpark. Ready for this? Oh my God. All of the legit podcasters out there are just rolling their eyes at me right now about how much of a noob I am. Anyways, love going on this journey with you guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you enjoyed my own craziness and my freestyle raps. And I'll see you all next time.